CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Expected to hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes coming up in just a few moments. Waiting for them to start talking over there at Arrowhead. Also coming up in about 15 minutes, my guy Steven Serta will come join us in studio. Just now realizing that because of when we're in break, James, going to get him is going to be a challenge. So might have to send our boss, Steven Spector, who is here, mind you, down there to do it as well. Somebody did point out earlier when I said I called this Christmas Eve Eve. Someone said, no, it's Christmas Adam. And then some other people had said, no, it's Festivus, which is the day in the episode of Seinfeld. Festivus was on December 23rd. But imagine if I did that as a sec. First, Dana and Parks do that. They do that every Friday. That's a part of their show's breakdown. So I wouldn't take that general sentiment from their show over on our sister stations, KMBZ. But could you imagine if I tried to open that up for sports radio? What the hell would you all complain about? The Chiefs are 14-1 in the back-to-back Super Bowl champions. I mean, you just couldn't do it. All right, we'll get to more of that in just a minute. Let's head out to Arrowhead. Andy Reid speaking to the media.
All right, so the guys that won't practice today are Connor, Humphreys, and Chris Jones. I'll make an improvement, but again, quick turnaround here, so we'll just keep evaluating throughout here. Look forward to the challenge of playing Pittsburgh. Good football team. Mike does a heck of a job there with his group, and he's got good coaches, good coordinators, and good players. So that's why they're doing well this year. And so again, our guys have had a good day yesterday, and we'll finish it up today with the second practice. So with that, time's yours.
Andy, you're using the short turnaround, but what was unique about the Saturday turnaround and going back and immediately studying film for Pittsburgh? Maybe these guys ready for a short turnaround?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of what you've got to do. The coaches did a good job of spending some time before our game on Saturday looking at them. So we had a little bit of a jump start, but we did come back here and take a peek at them. So.
What are some characteristics of Mike Tomlin's teams? You guys don't play him all the time, but you've seen enough of him.
Yeah, I used to play him every year at least when I was in Philadelphia. His teams are tough. They're well coached. And you know they're going to play hard every snap. They're going to give you an honest down every snap. So you got to come in ready to go.
Andy, when you say you took a peek at him, did you come right here after the game?
I did.
Saturday?
Yeah. I did. Yep. And
stayed a good while, I take it.
I've stayed a while.
Andy, how did Pat come through the game, tackle-wise?
Yeah, he did. He did good. Yeah. It's sore, but he did well. Pretty tough kid, man. That was an amazing thing he did. So.
Yeah, did you expect the starting lineup for the offensive line to remain the way it's been over the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, I'm going to just see how we finish up today, and then Nate, just take it day by day here. We've got a couple days, and we'll see how it all rolls.
And it's the third straight team that you faced that puts a lot of pressure on the quarterback statistically. How do you think they held up against Houston? What's just the difficulty of this specific defensive line this week?
Yeah, well, I'd tell you, similar as the other groups. I mean, they do a nice job of rushing the passer, all of them. So it's not just the outside guys; it's those inside guys too. And so the offensive line's got another big challenge. I thought they fared up pretty good last week. Did a nice job, for the most part. Have to do it again. But that's all part of this. They know that. They take that responsibility seriously, and prepare themselves the right way.
How did you feel that Hollywood Brown did in your second look?
I thought he did a pretty good job. You know, he didn't have a ton of snaps. We'll keep increasing that as we go. But I thought for the snaps he had, I thought he played pretty good football. Most of all, he got to take a hit. You know, that's always when you have that upper body injury, just getting that first hit is a big thing.
Hey, Andy, Mike Tomlin said this week that Travis doesn't get enough credit for his unselfishness. I know a play like P. Ryan's maybe down the sideline, he helps free up. I guess, what do you think about the role that Travis has played this year and maybe some of the unselfish things that he does?
Yeah, no, he does a great job with all that. Good team leader. That's why he's been voted a captain the last how many ever years during the playoffs. So Mike's right on that. He'll sacrifice for the cause, as they'd say. And I'm not telling you he doesn't like to play and catch and do all that stuff. He loves that. But at the same time, he's willing to help out everywhere.
Okay. Thanks, Coach.
Okay, good.
That's head coach Andy Reid live out at Arrowhead. We'll go out to Patrick Mahomes here in just a moment. I thought, look, not a ton out of that, but him saying, we'll see on the offensive line. Because that's still a big question. This was one of their better performances. Juwan Taylor couldn't finish the game, which meant Wanye Morris played right tackle, not left. Joe Tooney is still playing left tackle. There was at least one sack in the previous game that I think was because they had a backup left guard in and the miscommunication at the line that allowed a blitz through early on Mahomes. I still think the best version of their offensive line is DJ Humphreys playing left tackle, Joe Tooney playing left guard, and Juwan Taylor, ideally healthy, playing right tackle. Like I have a hard time imagining, James, that that's not the ideal setup for the offensive line. But some part of it is, if they continue to look better under Joe Tooney at left tackle, you start turning into the, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like, and I know it's not perfect, but it's like, if it's competent at some point with Tooney, sure. Do you want to keep tinkering? Is that even the right decision?
Well, I've been fairly happy with what we've seen from Joe Tooney on the left tackle. The problem I have is I believe that there's been a dip in production in the run game because we don't have the middle three, Tooney, Humphrey, and Trey Smith, dominating the inside of the offensive line. So is it worth it? I mean, if it's going to protect our $500 million man, then I think so.
Yeah.
But I'm just not happy. I'm not fully happy.
I just think if they wanted, like this whole time, if they were just going to turn it over to Tooney, they wouldn't have spent $4.5 million on Humphreys. They still want the same thing. They still want DJ Humphreys to be the starting left tackle because that is still the most successful version of them. But having taken no snaps with Patrick Mahomes and then just be in a playoff scenario also seems kind of crazy. Like, DJ Humphreys feels like he needs to take some snaps at left tackle at some point. And it never made any sense to me to rush him back by the Saturday game because they had to play again on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. But you get 10 days off after this. If he can't come in by the Denver game, well, then he's definitely not playing anymore. We're done here. Like, it's Joe Tooney's job, and it's, you know,
yeah,
Caliendo's job at left guard, and we're all just kind of playing the same thing. We will head back out to Arrowhead here momentarily, hear from Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes as soon as he steps to the podium. But, yeah, I just don't get it. I was briefly saying, before Andy stepped up, somebody said, Chiefs fans are complaining. I mean, are you serious? Like, if we did Festivus, the Royals made the postseason. They spent the most money ever on a contract. I guess Sporting, you want to complain about them? They weren't very good. Now, like, if you're a fan of every single local sports team, maybe some college programs? You could complain about Kansas or Missouri or K-State coming up short. But we'd run out of content pretty quick, I think, if we just turned this into Festivus just because it's December 23rd. We wouldn't make it very far.
Sure.
And certainly not during Chiefs content-based stuff, James. That's for sure.
Well, and the thing is you're absolutely right. You can't just look at all the positives. We can't just sit here and glaze on the Chiefs all day long. Our job is to look at all aspects of it and then find content.
Yeah, I know. I get it. I'm not here to say that I never came on here and looked at different stuff. I'm just saying that. From the 816, do you think Morris can be a better right tackle than left tackle? I think it's an easier position. But the NFL values them the same. And I still think it would be a problem if he had to do it long term. I think teams would pick on him the same way they pick on him now. They were fortunate enough that Danielle Hunter did not get through to Joe Tooney very often, and they were able to kind of hold that thing down. But if on the other end, it wouldn't necessarily work. You are listening to 96.5 The Fan, by the way, on KFNZ, FM, and AM, HD1 and HD2 in Kansas City. Again, we'll head out to Arrowhead in just a moment to hear from Patrick Mahomes, and I'll welcome in my guest, who's supposed to be here from noon to 2, We're going to hear from Patrick Mahomes in just a moment. Steven Serta, former producer of this show, current host of several podcasts. Do you like subscribe to just do you say podcast host? Do you say of certain shows?
No, I guess I don't really name them off usually. I just say like Foolish Club Media because I do host lots of things, or I'm a co-host or whatever, and I also produce everything. So I have my hands in everything that we're doing over there.
So if you want to catch his work, Foolish Club Media, if this is the first time you've heard Serta since he's been back on the show at least one other time, two other times with me, since you started that process.
Yeah, I've been in a couple of times.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
You came in for, I think when it was Club 610 at the time, now the fan club.
Yes.
Although I vowed to change that name in the new year. I still think the best name is The Buzz. Some people disagree. I think we already have some stuff in the building with that titling on it, which works.
And you could kind of piggyback off the nostalgia of the former station number. I think that would actually work.
Yeah. I don't know what the complaint is. Even that, maybe Club 965 is better. Either way, the point is Club Fantastic failed in like a week. We switched to the fan club and I'm still lukewarm on it.
Did you put it to the text line or was this a show decision?
No, it was like a text line thing. And then, you know, like that one sounded good in the moment. It was like one of those rush decisions where you're like, I like Club Fantastic. And then once we tried to say it a couple times, we're like, this ain't going to work.
Yeah. It doesn't really roll off the tongue. No, I don't think. It's gotta be quick. Like we read the text line number off. It's just gotta be natural.
Club 610. That was quick.
Yeah. Nobody thinks about it.
I think the one thing I'll give Alex credit for, so the fan club is the name we're currently working with. It sounds better when we're in here and he says Fan Club Friday.
Yes, that does.
That.
Sound nice. Why don't you just call it that?
What?
Because it's only on Fridays, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's got a better vibe to it.
And then you can just, if you do it on Wednesday or whatever, Fan Club Wednesday, which doesn't sound as good, but that definitely rolls better.
Yeah, Fan Club Friday?
Yes.
Yeah, it does. I'm not going to disagree. Are your headphones not working very well?
Not really. I'm navigating it right now, but I think the adapter is not working great.
While we adjust that, give me your quick opinion on whether or not you think they'll go back to DJ Humphries.
So right now, I don't think there's any reason for it. Joe Tooney has been good enough. Mike Caliendo has been good enough. And honestly, I think the case could be made that Joe Tooney has given you the best left tackle play that you've seen all season. Now, I understand for the run game, you probably want Tooney on the inside, but it would make a lot more sense to just be like, hey, our offense looks as functional as it has looked in maybe a calendar year over the last couple of games. So maybe we just don't mess up that momentum and we let it ride out. And I'd be totally fine with them leaving Joe Tooney there. You know, they rushed DJ Humphries in and then got him injured because he didn't have that grace period that they initially said. And so it's like, what are you really losing by having Caliendo at guard? Because so far it hasn't been much of anything.
I would say the one thing you definitively lose is the run game aspect of it, like you had mentioned. They are not as dynamic of a running team as they were before. And there are some defenses in the NFL that are easier to take advantage of in that department. Like, look at the Steelers. They just got diced up by the Ravens in, like, the run game. They gave up the world to Derrick Henry. The Steelers haven't been perfect, or the Ravens haven't been perfect in that department. Oh, they're playing significantly better defense. Like, I'd say some of the teams in the AFC's weakness is their ability to stop the run, and you are not nearly as good there. Plus, you paid him $4.5 million. Yeah. I assume you never wanted to go to Tooney at left tackle if you didn't have to.
Yeah, but then my question would be, does Andy Reid even care about that at all? Because in these matchups against the Carolina Panthers, worst run defense in the NFL, Raiders, one of the worst run defenses in the NFL, the Cleveland Browns over the back half of the season have been one of the worst run defenses in the NFL. And Andy isn't interested in running the football. So, and even last week, like against the Texans, you come into that game and injured Patrick Mahomes, the offensive line issues, whatever. And you assume, okay, they should lean into the run. This should be the week, right? This should be the week where they really try to lean into that. Even though the Texans have a good run defense, we've seen Andy Reid dial things up in the run game to find success no matter who they're playing before. And nope, came out of the gate even with a hobbled Patrick Mahomes just slinging the football. Now, it was short. It was quick throws. It was helping the offensive line out. But I think they're better at that than they are running the football. So I don't think that you're actually losing anything offensively. This is probably the best version of the Chiefs offense that we're going to get this season, especially as they work Hollywood Brown back into the mix.
All right, we'll get back to that in just a second. Let's head back out to Arrowhead. Let's hear from Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick, how do you feel now after coming through physically? You felt pretty good after the game, and how's it now?
Yeah, no, I feel good. I mean, obviously, we haven't done a ton as far as getting out there on the practice field. We've done some walkthrough, actually two walkthroughs now, and I feel like I can move around and do what I need to do, and now we'll get to a little bit faster-paced practice and see where I'm truly at. But I thought all in all, I came out pretty well.
Do you feel like you'll be in a better place for this game than maybe you were for the Houston game, or is this just something you're going to deal with until season's over?
I think I'll be in a better place ankle-wise. I mean, obviously the body's going to be sore just with a short week and everything like that. But I think the ankle should be in a better place. I mean, obviously we'll see at practice today. But as far as how I felt after this game compared to the one before, I'm definitely in a lot better place.
Patrick, over the years, just a preparation for these short turnaround games. How's this been for you and just getting everybody in tune? Do you do a little pre-preparation even before the previous game against Houston, like Gandy was coming over here to the facility right after? You know, how do you guys prepare for that?
No, I didn't do any of the preparation before. You have to focus on those teams that you're playing. I mean, Houston's a great football team, and we need all hands on deck for that. But right after I left the building, I was already getting pictures and videos sent to me from the coaches, and I got to open some presents with my family. And then right when they went home, I was already on to Pittsburgh. And this is a great defense, and so for us, we're gonna have to play our best football to beat this team, and it's gonna take everybody's best. So I'll try to get as much information as I can in before we get on that plane.
You already handled Christmas early with the shopping and the presents and everything.
Yeah, Santa hasn't came yet, but as far as my family, we traded gifts, and my kids. Brittany's a champ because I'm not there to help build the toys all my family got, and the kids have opened up every single one of them.
How do players handle that? Because you've done it now a few times playing on Christmas Day. I mean, how do you get in the mental mindset of, you know, not being there with family on an exciting day and knowing that in this case you got to go on the road on Christmas Day?
You know, I think with the just being the short week and how this has kind of worked out, you don't even realize how close you are to Christmas, other than when you go home and there's presents under the tree. So I think we're really just all hands on deck, super focused on Pittsburgh and understanding how great of a challenge is going to be, and then get on the flight and fly in there. So feel like a regular game, and hopefully we go out there and get a win, and you can come home, have a few extra days to celebrate Christmas with the family, if that's going home or in Kansas City.
Coach Nagy has kind of said that Xavier Worthy is really hitting his stride. What does it mean from a quarterback's perspective when you get that while getting Hollywood Brown back at the same time?
Yeah, I think you're starting to see kind of what this offense was meant to be. Obviously, we don't have Rasheed out there, but having some other guys we've added to try to fill that role as best as we can. You can see where we thought we were going to be at the beginning of the year. And obviously, we have to ramp it up fast against some really good teams. But I thought it was a great start having Hollywood out there for a limited number of snaps and him making an impact on the game and Xavier and everybody. And so that was a good defense we went up against. It'll be another challenge this week. Can we build on that and build some momentum into the playoffs?
Particular excitement to play on Christmas Day to find out that you guys were playing on Christmas Day this year?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely exciting until I realized it was on Wednesday. I think it is really cool playing the first Netflix game, playing on Christmas Day in front of the whole nation. I mean, it's an honor, and so we'll go out there trying to do what we can to not have the same experience we had last Christmas. But like I said, it's a great football team, and it'll be a great challenge for us.
Did last year factor into the excitement of getting another chance to play on Christmas?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that was not just a loss. That was a pretty embarrassing loss, and, you know, everybody was watching because it's Christmas Day. And so obviously it sparked us to win the Super Bowl, so it ended up working out. But you want to make sure that you go out there and put up a better performance for everybody to see.
Patrick, it's only your lock up the one seed. You guys talk about that all knowing now that it's can happen on Wednesday?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you talk about it, but everybody knows. I mean, it's you want to get that one seed to get that bye so that you're basically winning a playoff game by getting the one seed. And so you get that, and you'll have home field advantage as well at Arrowhead, which we feel like is a huge advantage for us. And you can't put all your attention to it. All you can do is go out there and play football and know that we're going to play a great football team, and it's going to take our best football to win.
We're going to go last to Blair and Todd. Patrick, it's only your second regular season trip to Pittsburgh. I want to know what you remember about your first one.
I mean, it's a great environment. I think that's the best thing about it. It's one of those true football stadiums, just kind of like Arrowhead, where you know the history of everybody that's played in this stadium and the history of this franchise. And it's pretty cool. It's right on the river, everything like that. And so it's gonna be rowdy. The fans will be out there. It'll be a great challenge for us, and it's gonna feel as much like playoff football as you can possibly get.
Patrick, Joe's played left tackle a couple of times now. Is he getting more comfortable there? What do you think of that? And then when you went back and watched, when you won, you got forced to jump in at right tackle. How did he do?
I thought the whole offensive line did a great job, and that's a really good defense, a really good pass rush especially. And I thought Joe did a great job. I mean, it's remarkable what he can do at every single position on the offensive line. And he doesn't, like, have a huge personality outside of the building. He does in the building, but outside of the building. And so people don't really recognize how special of a football player he is. And he did it in New England, and he's done it here for a lot of Super Bowl football teams. And it truly is a credit to him and the work ethic he puts in every single day. And I hope he starts getting the recognition, other than the All-Pros here, he gets recognition outside of that, that he truly deserves.
You guys don't do a lot of talking. There was some talking out of Houston last week. Did you feel that your offensive line was ready for that challenge, just with more than just the tape, but the words and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't. There was nothing said inside the building, but I'm sure those guys saw it, and they're competitors just like I am, and so they wanted to prove that who they were and who they can be, and I thought they did a great job of that, and hopefully we can build on that throughout this these last few games and into the playoffs, and it all starts up there. If our offensive line is rolling, we're rolling, and that'll be the difference on us if we want to win that Super Bowl.
Thanks, Patrick.
That was Patrick Mahomes live from Arrowhead talking about the upcoming game on Wednesday. I know that it seems like we're like a broken record on this. The Chiefs did get screwed on this. If they make it through it, it's fine. They're 2-0 in the three games in 11 days. 2-1 we would have all accepted. So even if they lose on Wednesday, it's not like burn it all down. But if they go 3-0 and then they get 10 days rest, and then after that, they don't have to play for another 2 weeks, which means they can essentially take a month off of football. Well, then they've managed it. But the NFL didn't have to do them like this. The NFL could have just, like, given them a late bye or, I don't know, not make people play on a Wednesday on Christmas just because Netflix handed you the bag.
That's what's most ridiculous about this is that they really got screwed with the early season bye. The Texans didn't have an early season bye.
Neither did the Ravens and neither did the Bills.
Yeah, they still have these short turnaround games. So why are the Chiefs the ones that had a week five bye this season, even though that was the earliest bye they had in like a decade? Like, it's, and now you're banged up with Patrick Mahomes. Your offensive line is banged up. Chris Jones
in practice.
And I wouldn't play Chris Jones in this game. Not I wouldn't even consider it. But
not worth it.
I know the Chiefs don't think the way that I do. And if he's got a chance to go, they're going to give him an opportunity to go. But he matters so much more for the postseason chances than he does right now. Like, yeah, you want to win this game and lock it up to ensure that you get rest, but give Chris Jones time to get healthy because he's the only guy that really matters on the defense outside of McDuffie.
McDuffie, 2 picks in a row, too. That was always going to be the story, right? He was going to wait almost 3 full damn years to get a single interception as an all-pro corner. He gets one finally looking up at the Jumbotron on Jameis Winston, and then the very next week gets another one. Yeah, that makes sense. Least surprising.
Well, who would have thought when you put pressure on a quarterback, you could actually generate turnovers that way? So when they went about 8 weeks not putting pressure on quarterbacks, they didn't force any turnovers. Now all of a sudden they're putting pressure on quarterbacks again. They're getting turnovers, and the secondary looks a little bit better because they're getting help from the guys up front.
Eight turnovers in the last two games? And they had 10 the rest of the season?
It is a weird trend with their defense, too, though. This is just a thing with Steve Spagnuolo's defense with the Chiefs. Like, they never generate a ton of turnovers. They're never, like, near the top of the league in turnovers, but they've had a lot of success with the sacks, and so it kind of mitigates some of that stuff.
Yeah, I guess that, like, the Chiefs' defense is... It's weird to me, because I know why they piss me off. Like, I'm very aware of what it is, and it's because... They don't get enough pressure, but also, like, they're bad on third and long. And so a defense always feels at its worst when they're like, hey, man, it was 3rd and 13, and Tank Dell got, like, 16 yards and didn't even try. Yeah. Were you attempting to play defense on this play? But I don't think people probably realize where the Chiefs rank. After the game in which they let up 19 against the Texans, the Chiefs are 0.2 points away from being the number one scoring defense in the NFL. They currently rank third. They are the third best defense in the league. But they do make, I am annoyed by them a lot. And I should probably just let it go because it's like the bend don't break doesn't feel like a way to live. And I feel like I heard Bob Sutton say that a lot at the end of his tenure. So like, I'm just salty about the way that sounds because it didn't end well. He started breaking all the time at the end of that scenario. But like, they're one of the best defenses in the league. So I should probably just let the like, sometimes you don't look good portion of it go.
Yeah, well, I just feel like you have to do that with the Chiefs in general. And that's something people get frustrated with me about because it comes off as criticism, and sometimes it's well-deserved criticism, but this team has a higher standard than every other team in the NFL. Yeah. And so when they play subpar, it's okay to criticize the decision-making, just like it was okay to criticize Andy Reid for seemingly getting Patrick Mahomes injured. Like, that game plan is what got him injured against the Cleveland Browns. So
never understand going for that fourth down.
They're not above criticism, but that doesn't mean that I don't acknowledge how excellent they are and why they continue to win these football games, even though half the time they're ugly and not the most entertaining things. The version we got against them, against the Texans, most fun I've had all year watching a Chiefs game.
That's the best they've looked all year.
I will take that the rest of the way. I am perfectly fine with that. I just want, you know, competent, mistake-free football. It doesn't have to be a 45-point win or something like that. Just look functional. And they finally look functional. And so I'm really excited moving forward about the shape of things on offense, especially for the Chiefs.
Is this the – so on offense, that was definitely the most competent they looked. It's funny because, like, they didn't put up, like, 35. But they completed four passes or more to four different receivers.
Yeah.
Hollywood Brown looks like he's been playing with Patrick Mahomes all season. Xavier Worthy's gotten a lot better. And then what we were talking about to open the show, which still makes no sense to me, there shouldn't be anything in medical science to suggest this to be the case. Patrick Mahomes is better with an injured ankle than with a healthy one. What evidence do you have to support the other side of it? He is a better football player when he has a high ankle sprain than when he doesn't. Like, all the evidence, statistical evidence, would be on my side here.
It's just, the logic is just like, baller's ball. Like, when the chips are down, your back's against the wall, who's the guy that's going to go do it? And Patrick Mahomes is the guy that always goes and does it.
I compared it to, like, you know, like the old like tale of like a mother lifting a car because her kid's trapped under it. It's like he just finds strength you didn't even know existed inside his body when, like, he's being questioned with this ankle injury. Oh, so you think I can't do this? He plays better with a hurt ankle. It's crazy. I'm so mad at myself. I didn't bet him to have a rushing touchdown in that game. In retrospect, the easiest of bets. Yeah. I should have known that was going to happen.
Yeah. It's bum ankle. You can guarantee he's going to rip off a 25-yard run. Like, that's just absolutely going to happen because then the defense thinks, oh, he's hobbled. He can't move around. And he's just like, nope, I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm going to pick up a critical first down at a critical moment in the game. And then I'm going to get up wincing and limping afterwards just to make you feel worse about it.
Yeah. Oh, no. All I did was run 20 yards. Right through the heart of your defense. Could have gone down at the 5.
And the Houston Texans player who was talking trash is just left in the dust.
Yeah, of course it was him. Like, he likes, you know, I don't know if it's like a sadist. He likes embarrassing people. Like, I think it brings him some joy to take the people who doubt him in some way or take the people who have questioned him in some way and then destroy them. And look, I see the text line asking about the defense. Just like, hey, did the defense get bailed out by Tank Dell getting injured? They had no answer for him. I would just say he had 6 for 100 yards or so and a touchdown. And that was a great pass from Stroud. And I still don't understand how Tank Dell can hold onto a football when someone is like putting his knee in shreds.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, maybe they score again with Tank Dell, but it's not like they're weaponless without Tank Dell.
Yeah.
Tank Dell's consistently been their third wide receiver option this year.
And the Chiefs have been better in the second half, like defensively, like just really over the course of the season. Like they tend
career under Spags, really.
Yeah, like they tend to clean things up. And that was also like the best game of Tank Dell's season. Tank Dell has not had a very good year, and neither of the Houston Texans, outside of Nico Collins being an absolute alien when he's on the field. Like that was a pretty impressive performance. I know Tank Dell had a monster first half, but hey, that happens sometimes when you have this kind of cobbled together secondary that the Chiefs do right now. I've still been really impressed with the way they played over the last few weeks.
I still give like this will be, and I had asked and nobody seemed interested. Sadly, I had suggested that we buy him a, I wanted to make him a real bronze bust. I got a quote. I get it done for like 10.5.
$10,500?
Yeah.
That's higher than I would have thought.
Honestly. I wanted him. Well, I didn't want it to look like Dwayne Wade's.
I feel like you settle for that in your situation.
I didn't want it looking like his. I wanted it to look like Specs. Plus, I had requested that it have the laser eyes. Not like actual lasers, but I wanted like, you know, like some sort of red gemstone or something for the eyes.
Like just the plastic ones you buy at the craft store?
That'd be fine. Although it seems silly if you're having a real bronze made to then buy like craft store googly eyes, essentially, to go on there. Because the job he's done, this is where Andy, like, this is a stupid thing. Well, not a stupid thing. It's a small thing that I don't think people probably appreciate about the coaches who are the best at what they do. Andy Reid is one of the single greatest coaches of all time. You can make an argument. He is the single greatest coach of all time. And now he's going to make it easier to make that argument if he three-peats and Bill Belichick is now just coaching at North Carolina. So, like, he's going to pass Bill. He's only 4 or 5 wins away for all-time postseason wins. He's still 4 Super Bowls back. But if you get that number close, people will just forgive the fact that he had Tom Brady the entire time and you didn't.
Yeah.
Had Patrick Mahomes the entire time. So, like, he'll have a strong argument. When he finds a guy who can do the job and just lets it go, delegating is an important skill. So it was Jim Johnson all those years in Philadelphia. Jim Johnson was a great defensive coordinator, and he had him for like a decade. And he's like, do your thing, Jim. Seems cool with me. And now it's Spagnuolo, and he's just like, yeah, that's fine. I'll let him do his job. And Spags is the best defensive coordinator in NFL history. I mean, at this point, is there an argument outside of he's the winningest defensive coordinator in NFL history?
Yeah. And there's a couple other guys that like older football fans would probably be like, oh, what about Wade Phillips or something like that? But yeah, I think the amount of Super Bowls that he's won, the amount of different defenses that he's excelled with and put together, like last season's Chiefs defense is the greatest Chiefs defense that we've ever seen. And I don't know if we'll ever see a Chiefs defense as special as that one was. And it was Steve Spagnuolo at the height of his powers where it's so rare in the NFL to have the perfect personnel lineup to do exactly what you want. And you see so many coaches, and Spags does this at times too, struggle to make adjustments because they want to run things how they want to run things, whether they have the right personnel or not. And they're like, just get better. Just get better.
Just play. This is what I want you to do.
Yeah. And sometimes you simply don't have the guys that are capable of doing that. And we're seeing a little bit of those growing pains this season, but the Chiefs are making some adjustments on that side of the ball. But last season, it was just the perfect storm of personnel to run this insanely complicated Steve Spagnuolo defense, and somehow the Chiefs defense was still underrated and not talked about. Everybody was raving about this Ravens defense, and I was sitting here screaming to the heavens like, this Chiefs defense is better. They're the best defense in the NFL. This is one of the best defenses I've ever seen. And they were incredible. Like, they're never going to go on a run like that defensively ever again.
No, probably. And they're still a top 5 defense in the NFL scoring-wise this year, and that's with a depleted secondary, missing their second best pass rusher for, I don't know, 70% of the season. And then players just not developing, right? Like guys like Felix Anudike-Uzomah unable to help you, or Jalen Watson and Joshua Williams still being very limited players, and Watson then getting hurt in those limitations. Like, I always point out this thing about Jalen. It's like they weren't even sure they wanted him to win the job.
Yeah.
I think they honestly wanted Nazi Johnson to win, and they're like, hey, he didn't win it though. So
yeah.
Come on in, Jalen Watson. And then he got hurt, and you just had to go through this whole like evolution again where you're guessing who your second or third best corners are, and it's not an easy task. And then Aminihue came back and they got instantly better.
And I still don't understand like what was going on with Joshua Williams midseason. Like, I understand Joshua Williams can be a frustrating player, but for every like boneheaded play, like he still makes solid plays, and every metric when he played a lot last season would suggest that he is a serviceable player in a way that Nazi Johnson has simply never shown in an NFL regular season. And then Jalen Watson getting injured, it's like, if he stays healthy, like, I feel like we're having a different conversation about this Chiefs defense. But that's how the NFL goes. When you play as much football as the Chiefs have over the last several years, this is the first time they've really just been totally fallen apart from injuries. And they've weathered all of that to the point where they have the best record in the Patrick Mahomes era through this many games.
It's kind of stupid, honestly. If you list all the things that went wrong for them injury-wise this season, so they lost their number one wide receiver and their number two wide receiver. Number two guy just came back. It's week 16? 15?
Okay, you got to figure that out before the playoffs.
So they lost their number two wide receiver for 15 weeks. They lost their number one wide receiver. They had him for 2 weeks. And then their own quarterback took him out on a play. So they lost their number one, number two wide receivers. They didn't have their number two pass rusher for 80%, 70% of the season. They lost their number two corner. They have had a lot go wrong. They lost their starting kicker for a month. I don't care what you want to look at. They've lost safety. They've lost everybody at some point this year. They've had missing parts all over the defense, all over the offense. And they are 14-1 with the best record. Now, I will say one thing I think that is happening on that is that we have probably undersold just how many bad teams are in the NFL this year. Do you know how bad the bottom third of the NFL is here?
It's a lot of 3-win teams.
There's a reason why there are so many 12-14 win teams in the NFL. Why the Vikings and the Lions and the Chiefs, everybody, they all get lumped in. Why are there so many teams that are like 12, 13, 14 wins? The bottom third of the NFL is awful.
Yes.
I mean, it is genuinely awful. It is real. There is no middle class in the NFL this year. You're either a playoff team or you stink.
And the middle class is like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Atlanta Falcons.
Or Cincinnati, I guess, in this case.
Now. Yeah. It's really hard to succeed in the NFL in any era, but especially now where you have so many alien athletes on the football field at any given time. Like, why do you think that we're regularly, year after year now, seeing so many teams struggle to put together competent offensive lines? Like, there's just not enough bodies. There's just not enough people that are made that way in the universe to compete in the modern day NFL. And that's why offensive line play is so garbage every year.
If they are, they just play like a really good power forward and don't ever put on all the weight.
Yeah.
You know,
Joe Tooney is a small offensive lineman. He's quick as hell. And he does not look like he is pushing 300 pounds anymore, by the way. he wins with his athleticism, and it's a testament
and technique.
And it's a testament to how incredible Joe Tooney is that he can slide to left tackle and there's not that much drop off.
No, it speaks a lot to it, but they've weathered a lot this year, and they're still one win or one Bills loss away from being the number one seed. Let's take a break. Let's talk about the Steelers game coming on Wednesday. This is my only show this week, so it's my only chance to talk about the Steelers game. Let's talk about what we expect out of that game somehow 2 days from now. I swear to God, I just watched the Chiefs play like 5 seconds ago, but let's talk about what to expect out of that Steelers game next. Back in here on Cody and Gold. Cody Tapp with you. Steven Serta with you. James Howell on the other side of the glass. We've got another 90 minutes. Before we hand things off in the drive, I think Carrington's here. I didn't actually look. James, you see Carrington around? I saw Rob.
I did see Rob. Said hi to Rob before I came in.
So 50-50 shot, I guess. I mean, Carrington, like, funny enough, we joke about all the kind of people. Like, most of us take time off around the holidays. Carrington's the opposite. He'll be off on, like, some Wednesday in April. I'm like, man, this day makes no sense. Who the hell's... And just the one day. Not, like, several consecutive days, just off like a Wednesday, April 29th. And you're like, that's a weird one, but okay.
Yeah.
But Christmas week, Carrington will be here the whole time. I mean, like Christmas day at noon, just like doing radio for no reason.
I can respect it. I can respect the grind, but also you should maximize the PTO around the holidays. Take those days off and get your rest time.
Yeah. They're already built in days off. So you can do that outside of that. Here, I'll give the rundown. People always ask, all right, what do you do for the holidays? You want to know us a little bit? Here's how the layout for the Tab family goes, or just me personally, over the next 3 days. Tomorrow's Christmas Eve. We always spend that at my wife's family. It is a Mexican feast every year, so we will have tamales from San Antonio Market, chicken from El Pollo Rey, and my mother-in-law makes enchiladas.
Nice. Sounds delicious.
Usually some whiskey or beer or something consumed. Some sort of like, you know, light alcoholic fare. Anymore, Christmas Day is just Christmas at my house with my kids. And then, dead serious, we go to Kelly's. And you're like, wait, I've tried to go to Kelly's on Christmas. They're not open. They aren't to the public. But the Kelly's family, who I've gotten very friendly with, yeah, lets us come kick it sometime. So
not open for the peasants on Christmas Day.
So I end up at Kelly's on Christmas, despite the fact they're not open. And then the day after Christmas, for the first time, I'm hosting my family on Christmas.
So can't drink too much at Kelly's.
We'll see. I get a lot of that work done ahead of time. So we'll see how that goes. I've never actually hosted my family for Christmas. I have settled in on turkey and brisket as the meats, and then potluck. I'll just make everybody else bring like something. I'll make mac and cheese and some veggies, and then everybody else can bring one thing to contribute.
Yeah, sounds like a solid Christmas.
Not bad. Yeah. Not bad. How about you?
I got a lot going on. So I'm actually going to fill in for you guys on Thursday from 10 to 2.
So there's your Thursday. It's different than mine.
So that's an announcement. I will be here with my guy James, I believe. We'll be here on Thursday filling in for Cody and Gold. But tomorrow, I've got a really busy day trying to get ahead for the Chiefs game. Then we are going to my girlfriend's father's house for Christmas Eve dinner.
Okay.
And then we go to her mom's house.
That same night?
Yes. Because they love each other very much, and they like spending time around each other during the holidays, which is a little bit different than my family time.
I was gonna say, if you preface it that way, I know your family dynamic was different.
Yes.
Like, how you guys like each other?
So then we go to her mom's house, and family comes over, and we all kind of hang out, and everybody like stays the night there to wake up on Christmas morning and share that together. Very, very heartwarming holiday tradition.
They still hang out? They spend the whole night?
Yeah.
What's the sleeping arrangement? Inflatable bed?
They have a very nice home. And as far as I know, enough bedrooms to accommodate anyone that is going to stay there. But I'll find out the sleeping arrangement tomorrow sometime.
I don't know if you were like on a couch or an inflatable bed or if you got a real bed.
Yeah.
You're signed up either way. Is breakfast provided Christmas morning?
Yes, I would assume so. And I did. I went to Colorado with them a month or 6 weeks or so ago. And I actually made dinner for everyone for like 12 people by myself. Well, I had some help, but I prepared dinner for everyone. So I have cooked and would offer to cook, but they said they got all that taken care of. So I don't have to do any of that. And then Christmas Day, lots of family time, hanging out, doing stuff. We're going to have to try to find time to watch a Chiefs game because I got a post-game show to host for Foolish Club. And then after that, I have that Thursday filling in here. And then Friday is also my girlfriend's birthday. So Christmas week is very full for me. Got a lot going on this week.
Do you have it all purchased? Do you have both a birthday present and a Christmas present purchased?
Oh, for her, yes. She is taken care of, thankfully. I was on top of that. The one gift might be delayed that I'm a little bit annoyed about, but I don't want to talk about it because I'm going to get frustrated. But I do, immediately when I leave here, I have to go run and buy a couple of more Christmas presents because I just haven't had time to do it. So I'm going to try to get that done before tomorrow gets hectic with family schedules and things like
that. Yeah, sounds like I like how everything you have to do is with... You didn't mention your family at all.
Yeah. I am going to spend some time with my family on Saturday, I think. But it's because, like, people are out of town, and so they're coming in late to kind of – they just wanted to skip the Christmas craze because everybody's got so many things going on, so they're coming in, like, late in the weekend. So I'll figure all that out later in the week. I've got too much else going on.
My family's moved off of straight Christmas. We used to do stuff on Christmas and just off Christmas. But if I'm going to try to pretend like we're the most functional family that would be lying to the audience. I think we have the normal amount of dysfunction, I think, based on most family dynamics.
Yeah. Like I don't have, I love my family. We're fine. Like we do well. We spend time together when we have time, but the holidays haven't always been like, we have to get together and spend time together.
That's fair. We find a day. Let's talk a little bit about Chiefs Steelers coming up on Wednesday. Then we'll get to a random question of the day coming up in about 10 minutes or so. I'll be honest, I feared the Steelers game a lot more before I watched the Ravens dismantle them. I don't want to let one game completely color my opinion of a team, because that's not really, especially a division game. And I think division games a lot of times are not truth tellers, even when they're blowouts or even when they're close. Like, I don't think that Patriots-Bills game is a truth teller. I don't necessarily think that this just means that they're lost. But they have faced a good team two times in a row, at Philadelphia and at Baltimore. And they have gotten their teeth kicked in by the opponents. They are showing signs of defensive complete liability. Here's the number of points they've given up over the last month in December. 38 in a win, but 38, only 14 to Cleveland, 27 and 34. They're giving up 30 points a game this month. TJ Watt is a shell of himself. I don't think that they have any weapons that they like. Russell Wilson has thrown for 158, 128, and 217 yards. They have no running game. I don't like their offensive weapons. I just don't think they're a serious team. That's what it is. I think they are mediocre in the most mediocre way. They will not win a playoff game. They will make the playoffs because Mike Tomlin's great, but they won't win a playoff game. So can they beat the Chiefs on Christmas? Yeah, sure, I guess. But do I fear them as an actual competition? No. My only fear is that they're going to stand in the way of you trying to get a one seed.
Yeah. I think the Steelers are a talented team, but like everything you said about them is accurate. This offense has fallen apart without George Pickens in the lineup. Like George Pickens.
And he might play on Wednesday.
Yeah. And Mike Tomlin did say that they're hopeful he'll be able to play after suffering a hamstring injury in practice that's had him out the last couple of weeks. But they just don't have anybody else offensively that you really fear. Like, I guess Pat Freiermuth might be a good matchup for the Chiefs because the Chiefs have been awful against tight ends.
I've just been betting the over on every tight end. Yeah, since you worked for Dalton Schultz last week.
Yeah, the Steelers offensive line isn't particularly great. And yeah, when TJ Watt and those guys aren't winning up front and when they aren't creating turnovers, then their secondary is a little bit of a liability. I'd not expect their run defense to be the liability that it has been recently. But in their secondary, outside of Joey Porter Jr., they've got a lot of holes across the board there. And so I think the Steelers are better. Like, they're obviously better this season than they have been the past few years with Kenny Pickett, where it's like they grind their way to a 500 season.
And you just don't like any part of the way they play.
Yeah, and maybe still be a 7 seed or something like that in the playoffs. Like, they're certainly better than that this year. But in terms of the AFC powerhouses, it's the Chiefs, it's the Bills, it's the Ravens. And I think the Steelers are on the outside looking in of that club pretty handedly.
Where are we on the Ravens, by the way? Like, I don't, because we're talking about the Steelers game on Wednesday. All the metrics offensively would suggest that the Ravens are a juggernaut. Although every team who's been this good on offense in the NFL has never won the Super Bowl. Because in my opinion, this is like the 2017, 2018 Chiefs, which is, if your offense is this good, it usually means your defense is really bad. You are obligated to score. But over the last like 3 games, Baltimore's defense has actually been pretty good.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know, maybe I should be reentering them into the conversation with Chiefs and Bills, where I had put them in tier two, maybe by their lonesome. It was like Chiefs, Bills, tier one, tier two, Ravens. And then three and below is all the teams that will be in the playoffs that I don't care about.
Yeah, I think the Ravens are still a very, very good football team. And we do see some regular season inconsistencies with them kind of every year.
And they're always worse in the postseason.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson is historically a worse quarterback in the postseason.
Yeah, and that's when you get the best stuff from everybody. You get these game plans that they've been tweaking and working on all season long, and you're not holding anything back. And traditionally, Lamar Jackson has struggled in those scenarios. Their defense has been playing better lately, but I still don't think their defense is a defense that you have to fear, because through the first 10 weeks of the season, their secondary is one of the worst secondaries in the NFL.
It's really bad.
It's gotten a little bit better, but I think in part when you look at the matchups, it's like, okay, Steelers without George Pickens, they can't really throw the ball without George Pickens because he's their only viable weapon in the passing game. The Giants, yeah, please, come on. I don't even remember if it was Tim Boyle or Drew Locke or Tommy DeVito in that game.
I don't remember.
You know, and then they dropped that game to the Eagles, but it's like the Eagles are a run team. Like, the Eagles aren't a pass first team, and they want to run the football, and Jalen Hurts has some limitations as a passer. So you kind of get a pass there with your secondary. And then, you know, and the Chargers performance was a strong performance. I would argue the best, but again, the Chargers have like Ladd McConkey and nobody else in the passing game. So I think the matchups have favored the Ravens, but I think once they go against the best teams, you're still going to see that secondary struggle, and they don't have any elite pass rushers. Like, their defensive line is very mediocre this season. So I think as a whole, they're being carried right now by Lamar Jackson playing the best football that he's played in his entire career.
Yeah, well, and we'll see. Honest to God, maybe we will, and we'll see. But that might just be the theme of the AFC this year.
Yeah.
Josh Allen is also carrying the Bills across the finish line for a huge chunk of this year.
Yeah.
And I would say there was a middle section that Patrick Mahomes, at least recently probably too, that he's been doing that as well for his team. And so, I don't know, man. Like, I mean, that might just be the theme of the AFC this year, is that these teams are flawed, and it's may the best quarterback win. And in that scenario, I gotta be honest, I kind of lean towards this. The best competition for the Chiefs is all in the NFC.
Yeah.
And every time that the Super Bowl goes like that, it goes fine for Kansas City. Because they get in the game and they're like a 3-point underdog to the Eagles, who were the best team all year, or the Niners, who were the best team all year, who seem like they would match up great against Kansas City. And then it gets push comes to shove time in a Super Bowl game in which the game's back and forth and who's going to win it. And then Mahomes wins it. Like, the Lions are the second best team in the league. The I would argue the Eagles are the third best team in the league. And they almost, I understand they just lost to the Commanders. Jalen Hurts didn't play three quarters of that game.
Yeah.
Not that the backup didn't play well. They obviously scored plenty of points against the Commanders.
It's still Kenny Pickett. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's, no, and I still think the Lions are the team to fear in the NFC, but they obviously have their own problems on defense. Like, they're absolutely decimated by injury, but the Bills, it's a similar situation where, and defensively, we kind of see this every season from Buffalo, where every year we talk about Buffalo, oh, they're starting out the season as this powerhouse. DVOA has them rated as like one of the highest charted DVOA teams mm-hmm. that we've ever seen. And Buffalo is incredible at beating up on bad teams, especially early in the year.
They're the kings of it.
Where teams are trying to figure things out and adjust on the fly. And that's not to discredit anything the Bills have done offensively this season, because Joe Brady has been phenomenal for Josh Allen. That's why Josh Allen has been absolutely unstoppable and the runaway MVP this season. But their defense does this every year where they start the season really, really hot, even after the big personnel changes this offseason. And down the stretch, their defense has really started to struggle as teams have figured it out, because McDermott struggles to make adjustments. He runs the system that he likes to run, and for the most part, it's effective. Now, without true stars on that side of the ball, they got some nice secondary pieces. They don't have a true star pass rusher, and they don't really have anybody else on that defense that puts fear in your heart the way that like a Chris Jones does for the Chiefs. You can start to see, poke holes in the Buffalo Bills, and you're like, okay, well, the Chiefs traditionally have had a lot of success slowing Josh Allen in the postseason, even if they can't do it in the regular season when he's playing out of his mind. And then if their defense isn't as good and you find ways to beat their defense in the playoffs, which Andy Reid traditionally has done,
for him,
you have another recipe for the Chiefs to go to another Super Bowl.
I mean, it just feels like a repeat of the same thing. Now they're all going to have to come through Kansas City. Like, and the Chiefs would have to blow it, in fairness. I mean, the easiest thing is just get this win on Wednesday. Then you get 10 days off and nobody has to play the last game of the season.
Sounds great.
You get 10 days off, and I'll just tell you the guys who get the day off, regardless of how long the break is. Travis Kelce and Chris Jones. Automatic. Just enjoy your time off, fellas. You will not be working for us on the last game against the Broncos. You want to give Mahomes and Hollywood Brown 15 snaps? I'm not here to really argue. But, like, normally I am the play him a little bit, the rust thing versus rest and all this stuff. I don't think it's not real. But for a team who has played in 78 postseason games over the last 5 years, what do I think? You think I don't think they can take 2 weeks off and then be good? The Chiefs? Is there a team who better knows who and what they are in the postseason than that team?
Yeah.
It's different to me if you're taking 2 weeks off and you're a team who hasn't gone through this ringer, haven't moved in this area, haven't had to feel this before, the Chiefs could take a month off, and I'm pretty convinced it would not make them look rusty.
Yeah.
Like, the only argument I guess you would make is this is the best football they're playing. This last two-game stretch is the best two-game stretch they've had all season. Short, but it's the best they've played over the course of a couple of weeks.
And it's not as if we don't have a large sample size of them doing exactly this. Like,
yeah,
they do it every year. Now, maybe they lay another egg on Christmas Day, but Patrick Mahomes, despite the fact it seems like he is really disgruntled about playing on Christmas Day, has also mentioned multiple times this year how bad they were on Christmas Day last season.
Yeah, he seems like he's out for blood on Christmas.
Yeah, like he was very upset with how he played and how they played as a whole against the Raiders last year. So I would expect you're going to get a better version of them this season because they know how important this thing is, and it would have been great if New England could have sealed the deal against Buffalo, and then you get even more time to rest and reassess
then what do you
things.
Do? Just give everyone a month and a half off?
Yeah, like the idea, and we kind of saw this with the Ravens, like, you know, slow start in the playoffs after having a first round bye and things like that. The Chiefs simply just don't do that. The more preparation time they have, the more rest time they have, is better for them. They know what it means. They know what they have to do to get to where they want to go. And so I just simply don't think they're going to have that type of letdown performance in the playoffs. And what it's going to take is an incredible game from whoever their opponent is and where that maybe they have some costly mistakes or something like that. But, you know, in the playoffs, they are absolutely going to show up prepared and play their best football.
Cody Tapp, Steven Serta with you, James on the other side of the glass. Let's before we get to break, let's get to a quick random question of the day. I don't know if James knows where that sounder is, so I'll just say it. You don't have to look for it. Please don't go look for it. It's not. That's on Drew. He should. Serta, you used to be a producer. Drew's got to have a list of where stuff is and what plays.
Yes, I always did that. I color coded everything to make it easy.
Mm-hmm. This is not on you, James. This is directly on Drew Nixon.
I'm sure it's there somewhere. I trust Drew's got the notes down.
But let's get to a random question of the day. The one I have for you today, for you, Serta, for you, James, the text line 913-586-7965. Video over on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, where you can subscribe, like the views over at the Fan 965. Question I have for you today, because I was asked this yesterday by someone, how many Christmas movies do you watch a year? So let's say December 1st hits. What is the average number of Christmas movies you get through in a season? I figured my average at about 4. I feel like I'm light than most people. I get through probably one classic. We watched Elf with the kids yesterday. I catch one, and this year it was the Chiefs holiday touchdown movie because Alex was in it very briefly.
Yeah.
And his car, and because we joked about it on the show a lot. And then there's like a couple of other ones, maybe an older one, maybe a newer one. I'm good for about 4 a year.
Yeah. See, I, as you know, Cody, I watch a lot of movies, and I would say, I would argue, I probably more like 10 maybe a dozen, but it's not just traditional Christmas movies that, like, you would think of, because I watch obscure things
like Krampus based horror stuff or something.
No, I haven't watched Krampus. That doesn't really interest me. But like, I watched It's a Wonderful Life with my girlfriend last night. Fantastic movie. Really enjoyed it. I hadn't watched it in probably 25 years, but really loved it. It was fantastic. But like, Violent Night was a Santa Claus like action movie that came out a couple of years ago that I really enjoyed. I watched this movie last week called Fat Man with Mel Gibson. And I know we're not supposed to like Mel Gibson anymore, but Walton Goggins was in it, and it came out a few years ago.
Everybody likes him.
Yeah, and it had good reviews. I watched it. I really enjoyed it. Like, I watch a lot of random Christmas movies that maybe aren't the most popular. And also,
I kind of remember the trailers for that.
Iron Man 3. Christmas movie.
That's a Christmas movie?
It counts. There's Christmas themes in Iron Man 3. It absolutely counts. I don't know if I've watched any other Christmas ones. I'm trying to think of it off the top of my head. I squeeze them in here and there, and I get really into the mood. I do the same thing around Halloween and everything, too. So it's just my thing.
Someone on the text line and over on the YouTube page and stuff, someone's like, 2, 3. Someone said, like, maybe, like, 15 or 20 because their wife really likes them. I can't. 15 to 20 is crazy. Like, I can't watch one a day. I want to consume other content besides 15, 20 movies. How many do you watch a year, James? You got kids, too. That also changes the number.
Yeah.
If we include 30-minute, like, SpongeBob Christmas specials, I might be at 100.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's just, like, those things, then it's doing it.
It's Halloween. I'm much more, like, invested in horror movies, and I am cranking out Christmas movies.
Sure, yeah. No, I definitely, I've got kids, so that changes things a little bit. We watch the traditional, like, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and
I try to put that on for my kid.
Frosty the Snowman. But I do like to dive into, like I mentioned earlier in the show, Die Hard. I watch it every year around Christmas time.
Okay.
And then I always like to try to get a new Christmas movie. This year, it was Dear Santa with Jack Black. And if you haven't seen it, I would highly suggest that one.
Where, like, the kid accidentally writes a letter to Satan?
Yes.
Oh, I got it. That sounds right up my alley.
The kid accidentally writes a letter to Satan, not Santa. And Satan comes up trying to, like, fulfill his Christmas wishes, but to get his soul, I think, is the...
Okay.
The energy of the movie. I haven't seen it. I've just seen a trailer.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out.
This does sound right up your alley. Yeah. No, that's all. Just random question of the day. Just wanted to know how much Christmas movies we're watching. Maybe put one on the background of the TV, but now I got to put the Chiefs on Christmas Day, you know?
Yeah. See how that goes with the children.
They'll have things. It's easy on Christmas Day. They got all these new things to entertain themselves with, man. They don't, you know, and my kids will tolerate football being on, but I would not call them football fans yet, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
They're not anti it being on the television, and my daughter will ask things that are happening. Like, she was asking during Tank Test, like, what's happening? Why are they all looking at him? I'm like, oh, man. Welcome to the brutal reality of the NFL. His knee got shredded into a million pieces.
Yeah, just don't watch the replay.
Yeah, they showed it so, why did they show that replay so many times? Why did they, I'm not kidding, they showed the replay like 8 times, and then they came back from break, and they're like, we're not going to show you two anymore, while they were actively showing it again. So, like, I don't understand. What was the point of showing me so many times Tank Dell's horrible injury?
I don't know why they do that. They didn't show the worst camera angle of it, though, which I think I saw later on social media, which was just like, my jaw was like on the floor. Yeah. It's like, oh, I don't need to see that again. No, thank you.
Yeah, it just kind of depends. When we come back, I want to talk about Xavier Worthy's performance as it's gone on later in this year. Plus, just a couple of things on what we've noticed about Mahomes lately.